Bibles this afternoon and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The book of Ephesians in chapter 5, and we want to continue our study this afternoon. Wives, submit to your husband. Submit to your husband. Last week we started this section off, which really includes verse 22. The end of the chapter when we get through with the husbands and what he sums up with. We started off by saying husbands and wives are to picture Christ and his church, and certainly that is what is going to end up being taught in this portion of Scripture. As we consider what he says to wives and what he says to husbands, we said that it is the commandment of God. Therefore, being his children, having the love of God, and the love of God is to be obedient to the commandments of God, and his commandments are not burdensome, they're not heavy, they're not weighty. And so this being a commandment of God, we actually find delight in keeping all the commandments of God, including what we find here in this portion of Scripture. Let's read verses 22 through 24 again this afternoon. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, to their own husbands. In everything. He started this section off with verse 21, showing that we are all to submit to one another. And then he goes on to list some examples. Wives, husbands, children, husbands, fathers to their children. Oh, that raises some eyebrows. Well, what's he mean when he says, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath? You see. Then he goes on with servants to their masters. So wives are to submit to their husbands, we said, and began looking at. We said last week, we said, all to submit to God. In submitting to God is obeying his commandments. All that he has said. Not just picking and choosing what we like and then discarding what we don't like. But all his commandments. And a wife who is in submission to the Lord will submit to her husband, because that is what is required of her. That is God's order, God's command to wives to submit to their husbands. We looked at last week, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, said, even as Sarah submitted to Abraham, calling him Lord, calling her owner, her master, and submitting to him. So then we went to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and in verse 16, and after that man had sinned and brought the curse of God upon Satan and upon the woman and upon man, upon the earth, we see that the wife's desire would be unto her husband, and he shall rule over thee. We then, as we had seen in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, then look at Genesis chapter 18. We had considered Sarah and how that she followed Abraham everywhere that he went, was obedient, submissive, to follow him everywhere they went to, from the Ur of the Chaldees, from homeland. Yes, it was his homeland too, but she left that homeland, followed him to Haran, and then to the land of Canaan, the land that the Lord said he would give unto Abraham and to his seed after. And then she followed him down into Egypt and then back into the land of the Philistines later on. And in both places, she listened to his conniving and said, I'm his sister. Then owned that she was his wife. She was submissive. We even saw that, in comparison, sometimes men get an ego which they had not ought to have, and they think that they don't have to listen to their wife and shouldn't listen to their wife, and the wife should do everything they tell them to do. But we considered the fact in the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis, how that Abraham listened to Sarah. Then some men might say, see there, man, a husband ought not to listen to his wife because it turns to no good. The point is, the man being the head, being the authority, and the wife being in submission under him, it's okay for him to listen to her, to get her input, to get her point of view on something. But then he was responsible to God for making godly choices and decisions, which Abraham did not do. He took the advice of Sarah, and we see how that turned out. But even we drew from that in first, later on, how that Abraham loved Ishmael, and boy, did he love him. Even till we got to the 21st chapter of the book of Genesis, and Sarah had had enough. She'd had enough of Ishmael and Hagar, and Ishmael's ridiculing Isaac. And she said, cast them out. Get rid of them. For my son, for her son, Ishmael, shall be heir with my son, Isaac. Remember what we said? We said sometimes God speaks to us husbands, and he uses it, our wives, to do it. I know he spoke to me through my wife on numerous occasions. Sometimes I don't like it because I know she's right. Did Abraham like it? Recall back the 21st chapter, that which we read last week. Did Abraham like it? No, he was grieved. Greatly grieved at the thought of casting out Ishmael, for he loved him. Loved him greatly. But God came to him and said, you listen. You listen to Sarah, for that is his will. Ishmael shall not have inheritance. Isaac shall have inheritance in the land. So husbands, sometimes we ought to listen always to our wives. We ought to get their input. We ought to get their opinions. But as we're responsible for the decision to be made, we're responsible to make that which is godly decision. And sometimes he reveals to us through our wives, yeah, this is right, this is my will, this is what you ought to be doing. And that is a godly wife. Godly wife who is submitting to the Lord, and she is ultimately submitting to her husband. Now, the wife does this submission, that she is placing herself under her husband, she's yielding to his authority over her, she's showing love and reverence and respect unto him. She does this as she's submitting to the Lord. As she's submitting to the Lord. That's well pleasing unto the Lord. For her to be in submission to the authority of her husband. She loves the Lord. And because she loves the Lord and is submitting to the Lord, she loves her husband. And she's submitting to her husband. Turn with me to the book of Titus. Book of Titus. In chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 3 just so you get the sense of who is being spoken to. Or speaking to Titus. But this is what he is to instruct. Verse 3 says, the aged women that are older than some other women or children, daughters. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Get that emphasis on holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And here's the good things, that they may teach the young women in the church, the women that are younger, their daughters, to be sober, to have a sound mind, to love their husbands. It goes to our kind of love. Love your husband. Be affectionate is the word. To husbands. The aged women are to teach the younger women, teach their daughters that. To love their husbands, to be affectionate to their husbands. To love their children. Yes, you need to teach to the younger women, to your daughters, how that they are to properly love their children. It's not just by telling your husbands that you love them. It's not just by telling your children that you love them. But it's by showing. Love is an action word. By showing that love. In the things that you do, and the things that you say, and how you respond to them. So, the aged women are to teach the younger women, their daughters, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. The word discreet carries with it the same thought as somewhat similar to sober, of a sound mind, but it's of a self-control type nature. Being in self-control of the mind. To be chaste, that is to be clean, keepers at home, to be keepers and takers, caretakers of the things of the household. Good. Obedient to their own husband. Anyone want to answer what that word obedient is there? It's the same Greek word that is back in our text, chapter 5 of Ephesians, and verses 21 and 22, for submit. They're submitting, they're placing themselves under the authority of their husbands. It is one of obedience to their thoughts, their wishes, their desires, and their plans. And you're to be teaching this to the younger women, to your daughters as well, to be good, obedient to your husband, submissive to your own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. See, wives, when you're following the Lord, when you're submitting to the Lord, and you love your husband, and you place yourself willingly under him, you in obedience to his desires and his plans, his wishes, that are to be accomplished and to be carried out. And we'll get into that more when we get into husband's love, your wives. But the desires and plans and wishes of the husband, as he is submitting to God, are to be what? They ought to be godly desires and principles and wishes. And so, the wives are submitting to that which God is leading the husband. Yeah, I said we'd get into it more when we got on to husbands, love your wives. Well, hit it now and maybe more later as well. That the word of God be not blasphemed. When you're following, wives, when you're following the commandments of God, submitting to the Lord and submitting to your husbands, and you're loving your husbands, you're affectionate to your husbands, and you're showing that affection and that love by submitting to him in obedience to him, you're not giving place for the word of God to be blasphemed among the heathen. But now let's take the reverse of that. Say you're not doing that. And so the world looks at you, wives, and they see that you're not doing anything different than they do. You're exalting yourself. I don't have to submit to him. My desires and plans and my goals and accomplishments are just as important as his. And they see that. Out of you, you're giving place for the Word of God to be blessed.
He says,
I want to go to a blessed example. You probably not thought of it in this thread before. But we want to consider, I said women in the Bible is particularly one that we find in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter 31. And let's begin reading with verse 10. And try to read through this, well, somewhat quickly. And then I'll try to point out some things after we've read through it. Verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? That's a good question for today's age, is it not? But I believe they're still there. For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She'll do him good all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like merchants' ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Pause there for a moment. I wanted to encourage you before I started reading this to think of this in light of the woman being in submission to her husband, arranging herself under her husband, giving up her desires and plans and wishes and goals, and his becoming now hers, what is important to her. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. The distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her clothing. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in her gates. So first of all, virtuous. That means strength, might, efficiency. It goes to ability. It goes to wealth, having the force of an army. She's won, but she has the force of an army. And as we read down through there and looked at all the things that she accomplished, because she's submitting to God and submitting to her husband. In verse 11, her husband safely trusts in her above all. He has no need of any other woman. He's got the best. Right there. She's taking care of all his needs, of all his wants, of all his desires. Verse 13 to 15. She works long hours. She works long hours in order to take care of him, in order to take care of her family. Isn't that something? Verses 16 to 18. She buys a piece of land. Leaves it set idle, right? No, she buys that piece of land, she plants it. She sees to it that her merchandise is sold for a profit. She's not a merchant, however. She's not in the real estate business. But she's doing this just to care for her household, to care for her husband, to care for her family, to help assist him. Verse 22. She's clothed. She is clothed in silk and purple. What is silk and purple a symbol of? Well, silk speaks of wealth, speaks of royalty. Purple speaks of royalty. Oh, royalty. Royal clothing, the finest clothing. There. Not because she has a lot of money to buy, but because she works willingly. She does this in order that she's not a disgrace to her husband. She does it in order that she brings honor to her husband. And more importantly, to the Lord God. Verse 24, she's not in the retail business, but she makes fun, and she sells it, and she gives clothing to be girded with to the merchants to be sold. You see, she's not a merchant herself. But she has an ability. She has a strength. She uses that ability. She takes it to the retailer. And he sells it for her. Verse 26. Her speech. Her speech is speech of wisdom. And no wise speech is always kind. Her speech is of kindness. It's kind and it's with wisdom. You see, wisdom leads us to be kind and compassionate to others. It leads us to speak to them in kind and compassionate ways, not in ways that are demeaning and tearing down. Verse 28, her husband and children praise her believing her to be the very best. She's the very best mom. She's the very best wife. I don't have need of another woman. I got the best. Certainly, look at that.
They do. They do have the best. He that has a virtuous woman.
Many women, verses 29 through 31, many women have been virtuously. Did you notice that? Many women had done virtuously. But she, this virtuous woman, she excels them all. She's higher than the rest. None can compare to her and her willingness to please her Lord and her willingness to submit to her husbands. Started off by asking, who can find a virtuous woman? As we think of the time in which we live today, and the world in which we live today, and how the women's movement has prevailed over the years and moved to what it is today. Women stepping out of the home, women taking places and roles of leadership. Women, well, let's stick with our verses. Women that are not willing to submit to the husbands. And we're just talking about the wives now. Women that are not willing to submit to their husbands. And yes, the husband of his wife as the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But a husband that does not love his wife in that manner is no excuse for the wife not to submit. Because what's she doing? She's following the desires and the wishes. She's doing that which pleases God. She's doing that. She's submitting to the Lord. And so she submits to her husband regardless of what her husband does. Wives, submitting to their husbands. Wives, submitting to their husbands. Is to picture the relationship of the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is what he says in back in our text. Verses 23 and 24. We'll read that in closing. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Wives, there's your example. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. We'll stop there and we'll take up in